Are you an EMDR therapist and parent who wants to make more money, have more time with your family, and get better results with your clients? Welcome to the Future Template Parent Podcast. I'm your host, Carolyn Solo, LCSW, EMDR consultant, business coach, and mom of three kids under seven. I realized that the grind of weekly sessions was taking a massive toll on my ability to be the kind of parent and therapist I wanted to be. So I dove headfirst into learning about intensives. I read all the books and articles and did all the trainings. Now I've transformed my schedule, my income, and my clinical outcomes by offering intensive EMDR in my practice. I want to teach you how to do this too, so you can build a practice you love and spend more quality time with your family. Let's create the future template for your life as a parent and as a therapist.
To episode 37 of the Future Template Parent Podcast. I'm Carolyn Solo, LCSW, EMDR therapist and mom of three daughters, and I am your host. Thank you for joining me. Today's episode is a bit more clinical in nature. I'm going to talk today about the ASSIST protocol. That's A-S-S-Y-S-T. Excuse me. This acronym stands for Acute Stress System Stabilization Protocol. I'll talk about its origins, what it is, and when to use it in an intensive. So, who developed the ASSIST protocol? So the ASSIST, like I said, the Acute Stress System Stabilization Protocol, is an evidence-based protocol created by Dr. Ignacio Herrero, and it's effective for individuals and also has been used in groups, which is cool, for people or groups that have experienced a traumatic event. The procedure can be done in person and it can be done online. It also can be done with individuals, this is really interesting, who are actually anticipating a potentially traumatic event, such as a war, like knowing that they're going to be attacked. This is truly what it says in the development of the protocol. You can kind of think honestly of people in Gaza right now or in other, the Sudan, the Congo. I mean, I don't know what the potential would be to get those individuals access to this kind of treatment, but in theory, it could be used to prepare people for an incredibly stressful event. And when it's used after a traumatic event, it's ideally used within days of the event, but it can be done at later times as well. So that's obviously relevant to an intensive. Certainly you could be doing an intensive very soon after an event, but of course it might be longer as well. So you can use in both of those situations, relatively soon or, further on down the line, depending and how you use it might be slightly different based on how long it's been. So the ASSIST protocol has its roots kind of in EMDR. It uses bilateral stimulation to help the brain begin the healing process that it may be struggling to do on its own. It's important to note that the ASSIST protocol is not EMDR, okay? But it shares a great deal with EMDR. And you'll notice some of the similarities when I describe the protocol itself. But ASSIST was initially designed to treat acute stress disorder, right? ASSIST, acute stress system stabilization, was designed for acute stress disorder. So what is acute stress disorder? It's important to define it because it is different from PTSD. Acute stress disorder is defined as a short-term mental health condition that can occur within the first month after a traumatic event. I believe the first time it was included in the DSM was in DSM-4. So what the symptoms of acute stress disorder are sort of typical stress responses like anxiety, intense fear, helplessness, flashbacks or nightmares, feeling numb or detached from your body, so dissociative symptoms, avoidance, avoiding situations, places, or other reminders related to the event. And if these things can substantially interfere with an individual's quality of life and ability to live their lives normally after an event. So finding ways to, deal with these symptoms as soon as possible is incredibly helpful. So the main difference between acute stress disorder and PTSD is the length of the symptoms, right? So acute stress disorder, according to the DSM, involves stress reactions that happen between 3 days and 4 weeks following a traumatic event. If you have stress reactions lasting longer than 4 weeks, symptoms lasting longer, that might meet the criteria for PTSD. So one thing that the ASSIST is designed to do is maybe help acute stress disorder from developing into full-on PTSD. If you can sort of reduce the intensity of some of the symptoms very, very soon after the event, you can also hopefully reduce kind of the longevity of the symptoms, and maybe the person will not develop full-blown PTSD. So ASSIST is designed and researched to be, so it's evidence-based, to be effective with individuals or groups, as we said, who are currently experiencing significant distress related to a critical incident or adverse experience. You know, some things that could fall into this category could be a car crash, you know, community violence. That could be a group example, you know, like several people witnessing community violence, domestic violence, incidents at higher risk jobs, like first responders, or maybe someone witnessed or experienced like a very severe accident at, you know, an industrial workplace. And like I said, even though ASSIST is initially designed to deal with like symptoms very soon after, it can still be effective for PTSD symptoms years later. So how would we use this in an intensive? Well, one way to think of it is as sort of part of the preparation phase. If a client comes in for an intensive and is so dysregulated by the event or the, you know, what they want to process, that they can't even really get into any part of the processing, it's too painful, it's too triggering, it's too overwhelming, you can start with ASSIST to reduce the intensity of some part of their adverse event, their trauma, so that the client can more fully move into reprocessing without extreme adverse effects and being able to tolerate it. So you can see that as part of the preparation phase, right? Like, okay, let's do a little bit of this. So we reduce the intensity so that you feel that you can tolerate more thorough processing. You know, a client who comes in to address the trauma of maybe a relatively recent sexual assault may experience such overwhelming fear when they try to connect with any part of the experience that they feel like, I can't do this. This is too much. ASSIST could be very helpful there. I sort of think of ASSIST as falling into a similar category as CPOS, which stands for the constant installation of the present orientation to safety, which is another kind of titrating of desensitizing approach developed by Jim Knipe. So something I talk about more in my VIP day, if you're interested in learning about that, but you can look it up. It's CPOS, Jim Knipe. And also it's similar to EMD in some ways, eye movement desensitization. Like you can use EMD to prepare a client by just desensitizing, but not necessarily fully reprocessing an event. So these are things you can do during the preparation phase, but ASSIST is maybe even a little bit gentler than CPOS and EMD, which again, if you need a refresher on CPOS and EMD, those are things I also talk about in the VIP day. So I'd be happy to share that with you. You can also use ASSIST when you're already in reprocessing, but you get to a place that's like, the person's like, I can't go there. I can't do it. You could use ASSIST to kind of gently reduce some of the intensity so that hopefully they can tolerate reprocessing, right? And we remember that full reprocessing includes like connecting with adaptive material, like sort of getting a SUDS to zero and being able to fully feel like this is resolved and have a positive cognition. As you'll see when I describe ASSIST, it doesn't have all of those elements to it. So it's not full EMDR. Okay, so imagine you're using ASSIST with a client, right? So the first thing you're going to say is run a mental movie or do a Google search, people say both things, about the event with your eyes open or partially closed, so not fully closed, from right before the incident until now, or maybe even looking into the future. And once they've done that, have them let you know the worst part. And don't let this go on for minutes and minutes and minutes. We want to glance. Okay, you could say, glance over the entire experience. That's another way you could say it instead of just run a mental movie and let me know the worst part. Okay, so when they mention the worst part, have them measure the SUDS. You're gonna explain, since this person, you could do the ASSIST completely decontextualized from like full EMDR. So if this is a person who has no familiarity with any of the elements of EMDR, like bilateral stimulation, SUDS, all that stuff, you're going to have to familiarize them a little bit with that first. It doesn't take too long. But most likely, if you're an EMDR therapist, you're probably going to be using this in the context of EMDR and maybe even an intensive. So you probably won't have to explain those pieces to the same degree. But anyway, you're going to have them mention the worst part, measure the SUDS, and have them focus mostly on the somatic or emotional element, whatever feels easiest for them to access. So you're not asking for an image. You're not asking for, you know, a cognition. You're not asking for a vote. None of that stuff happens here. You're just saying, okay, what can you feel in your body? What's the emotional response? If they can feel it in their body, have them do that, because that's often the most acute distress is the embodied reaction. Okay. So you have them, you say, you know, how intense is it? What are you feeling in your body? Okay, great. And then you're going to use eye movements, which are preferable, but you can use tapping or the butterfly hug, 40 to 60 passes fast. Okay. We're not doing slow. This is fast. If they can't tolerate 40 or so, go down by 5 passes each time until they can tolerate it. You know, tell them follow my fingers or the light bar or whatever, and let whatever happens happen. At the end of each set, every single set, you're going to go back to that part where they started, have them observe it in their body, and ask for the SUDS. That's it. You're not asking, what do you notice, right? This is not full on EMDR. You're not going back. You're not like having the reprocessing go wherever. You're going back to the target after each set. And keep repeating until they report a SUDS of 0 to 3 on the most disturbing part. Okay. At this point with an individual, you may be able to go into fuller processing. That might be possible for somebody, but you might need to do some desensitization on another very disturbing part or two before they really feel ready to tackle the whole thing. Remember, you're not just trying to desensitize the emotional or somatic response when you're doing EMDR. You're trying to reprocess the trauma, connect to adaptive material, right? So this is not, you know, going through everything that you're going to need to do. You could go through every disturbing part in the experience and do assist if you want to, if that feels like it would be really helpful for the client. But for an intensive, what we're trying to do is more just decrease the intensity enough so that they can tolerate the process and also have some faith that the process will work and won't be terrifying, right? So it's really more about that, helping their system acclimate, helping them reduce their like symptomology enough that they're like, okay, this is something I think I can do. And to trust you that you can help them with that process. So I think that you can see how it would be part of kind of preparation or resourcing. And like I said, it might be something that I guess you could think of it as an interweave in a sense, that if you're in the middle of reprocessing and you get to a new target that feels really, really intense, be great to use it there. For example, I had a client who had to terminate a very wanted pregnancy because the baby was very sick. I've probably mentioned this before. And there was a certain part of the memory that was just incredibly viscerally intense. And just every time she started to talk about it at all, her eyes would fill with tears. She would kind of freeze. We did assist on that memory, that target, to reduce the intensity enough that she then felt she could tolerate reprocessing. So there's an example of kind of using it midway through the processing. So I hope that is a good example of how you might use this. So all you're doing, not all, but what you are doing with assist is helping the client tolerate intense body sensations and emotions better, okay, which is so important. But you're not asking about negative cognitions. You're not installing positive cognitions. You're not asking for a voke. You're not asking for an image, right? You're just reducing the intensity of some of the most disturbing parts of a very, very disturbing event. And ideally, what we're trying to do is you're trying to move to EMDR, full EMDR, in your intensive approach using RTEP, as previous episodes I talked about have described how I use the recent traumatic event protocol to structure my intensives. So when you feel like the assist has helped the client get to a little bit of a more stable place, you want to move to full EMDR, right? That's the goal. But this is a great tool to have in your toolbox. And I talk about this more fully in the VIP day, give some more examples about how I've used this. You know, we can, if I'm meeting with you one-on-one in the VIP day, I can answer all the questions you might have about how to use this. I find that not a lot of people have heard of this, which I think is interesting because it's so effective. And I also have found that when I teach this to people, they're like, that can't really work. And it's interesting. I don't really know why people have that reaction. I wonder if it's because it's not like full EMDR or something. And that, you know, the research shows that if you're doing this kind of in isolation, just with someone who's had a recent trauma and you're just trying to, you know, really do that, deal with the acute stress disorder, that it can make a difference in like an hour. And people have a hard time believing that. But, you know, trying it is believing, I guess. So I would encourage you to test it out. And, you know, it's something you could use with an hourly client. So experiment with it. You know, do some research on your own. There's some trainings online where you can see like examples of Dr. Herrero actually performing assist on performing. That sounds strange. You know, in a training, it's a volunteer, like not an actual therapy session, but you know, you can see how it's actually done. But it's pretty simple. And what's kind of cool about it is in some ways you can teach it to other people who maybe aren't fully EMDR trained. And I know that's kind of controversial because some people would say, oh, never do that unless you've been fully trained in it. But I think that if you have some foundation in kind of like understanding the nervous system, polyvagal theory, kind of upregulation, downregulation, you know, this protocol could make sense to you even if you're not fully EMDR trained. So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. But again, I'm sure that's controversial. Some people would say, what are you doing? Just telling people how to do something without, you know, sending them to a training. But something I do think is important is I like to democratize some of this knowledge. I don't think that, you know, every single clinical tool that we can use needs to be taught in a 4, 5, 6 hour training, but you know, that's just me. So I'm going to talk more, like I said, I talk more about this in my VIP day, in my group program that's starting in the fall of 2024. We cover this as one of the tools, the clinical tools you can use. If you have more questions on the protocol or how to use it, I'd love to hear from you. I'd also be so interested in hearing from anyone who's already used it themselves or was trained in it and has any feedback on how it's worked, or if you think that I've explained it wrong or anything. I just think this can be a really cool tool that's not really taught in basic training that I would love to see more clinicians use. So if you have experience with it, I'd really love to hear about that. If you want to get in touch with me and tell me those things, you can contact me on Instagram at FutureTemplateParent. You can also look me up on my website, www.futuretemplateparent.com. That's where you can get all of the updates on my offerings. You can get general intensive support. You can get on my email list and not miss any exciting episode of the podcast or get notifications about all the things I'm doing to help support you EMDR therapists who want to offer intensives or who already are and want more support. Have a great week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this slightly different episode. And thank you, as always, for listening. The support of this podcast means so much. Take care, everyone. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Future Template Parent podcast. I hope you've learned something that can help you move from feeling overwhelmed to energized about your practice and your personal life. You don't have to choose one over the other. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, and please share it with another EMDR therapist who would benefit from hearing this episode. Each review helps us get the message out about how offering EMDR intensives can liberate your practice. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app so you don't miss a single episode. See you next week.